Well, good morning again, church. Hi. I got a high Keith out of that. How many of you feel like, you know, you've been waiting on God for a long time for something? And that song just reminded me, like, even when we don't see it, he's working. And it just struck me during that time, like, the 400 years we know between the Old and the New Testament, where God didn't speak, but he was still working, wasn't he? He was waiting for the right time to send his son to offer us salvation and forgiveness of sins. So be patient. Right on, Carrie. Well, with that, good morning again. And if you missed it again earlier, my name is Pastor Keith, and I want to welcome you here today as we head into week 5 of our series called When God Speaks, where we are looking at the 5 primary ways by which God seems to speak to us today. And thus far, we have talked about the Holy Spirit of God and how He, God, speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. And we've talked about the Bible, how He, in fact, speaks to us loud and clear through the Bible. And then last week, we talked about prayer, right? And how God speaks to us through prayer as we include listening as a part of it. And as we expect, actually, a conversation through it. So with that said, as we enter this week, I want to start with a question or maybe a set of questions. Have you ever felt like God was leading you down a certain path and you start traveling down that path only to experience something that seems to contradict said path or block it and block what it seemed like God was saying to you and leading you through? That's confusing, right? Or maybe you're just going about your life. Maybe you're just like grinding it out, in other words, and you are doing your best. You're doing your best to discern and to follow God, only to find that He throws you a curveball. And you have no idea what to do with that. Have you ever been there? Just wondering, right? Is this event, is this circumstance, is it from God or not? And is it an invitation to trust Him more that I should accept and step into, or is it a distraction that I should ignore? This happens to me quite frequently, okay? And I think for many of us, it happens quite frequently, whoever of us are in a relationship with God and others. For example, we get asked to get involved in this, that, or the other all the time, don't we? And in this life, things occur that just seem to come like out of nowhere, and we're left trying to figure out what to do with them. And as Christians, okay, hopefully we are focused on how best to honor God with them and fulfill the Great Commission through them, which is the sharing of Christ with others. It is the being of Christ to others and to the world. As an example, I was recently asked to join the local board of the Chamber of Commerce, which, if you know me, you know I would love that. I love being active. I love this community. And I didn't know what to do. It would have been very easy for me to just, like, say yes to that quickly and to look at that as an open door from God for me to embrace and connect and become more ingrained in this community. But you know what? It was a cause for me to just kind of pause for a second. It was a cause for me to pause, which I am so thankful for. Because I think those kind of circumstances, if we approach them properly, they can help us to what I will call recalibrate our lives. Or I guess I would say revisit the main purposes to which we feel called by God and to even ask them to Him and ask Him about them. And I have to do that, okay? I have to do that to navigate circumstances I'm faced with. I have to do that with God, and I think we all do. So in that case, upon prayer, upon reflection, I sensed God saying no, or at least not yet. And I got to tell you, through that processing of the circumstances that I was faced with, God spoke, church. He spoke to me, reminding me that to which I have been primarily called, and how there's plenty of stretch opportunity already with that. So with all of that said, we want to take some time today, okay, as we're together. We just want to take a little time to reflect on how God speaks to us through circumstances. Or put another way, how he uses events that occur in our lives to speak to us about himself and about his purposes and about his very ways. And we're going to do that this morning. We're going to explore it by looking at a pretty interesting story. It's found in John chapter 5 of your Bible. You can get there now in your Bible if you want. And side note, if you ever need a Bible, we have them in the back. You can take those anytime. You can keep them, okay? Now, in this account that we're going to look at today, we find Jesus going to the city, okay? He's on his way to celebrate one of the Jewish festivals. And as he journeys, he happens to pass by this courtyard, okay? And it is a courtyard filled with sick people who are crowded around this pool, all right? You see, they believe that a miracle occurred occasionally, periodically, where an angel would come down and would touch the water, would stir the water, and the first person into that water to touch it would be healed. And if you think about it, okay, most of the people there, if not all, they've likely tried every other form of remedy, right? Healers, etc. But they've tried all that stuff with no success. So they crowd around this pool largely as what? Their last hope, right? I say all that to say this, it's a pretty desperate scene, right? Pretty desperate, and that alone would compel our Jesus, wouldn't it? Our compassionate Jesus, that would compel him to just that, to have compassion and to act. But you see, there was a bit of a complication in this scene. It's the Sabbath, guys. It's the Sabbath. It's a declared, it's an enforced day of rest. So even if someone like Jesus wanted to help one of these people, they wouldn't be able to without breaking the law, the religious law of the day, because they were not supposed to work on that day. And helping someone like this, as crazy as it seems to you and I, that would have been forbidden, considered work, if you will. You see, the religious leaders, they had so regulated the Sabbath that there were 39 categories of work. And then even more subcategories to dictate what was in fact considered work. For example, carrying something, carrying a burden as it was called, that was not allowed. But sublaws explained that a little bit deeper, like you could carry a crutch, but you couldn't carry a bundle of food. God forbid. It was crazy complicated, guys. And if someone was found disregarding these regulations, the punishment was severe, sometimes even death. So I say all that to say this. These are the circumstances that Jesus finds himself in. But as he walks by, guys, okay, as he walks by, he sees this one man in particular, and somehow, okay, somehow Jesus knows he needs to help him. He needs to heal him. Despite it, despite being it against the rules. And he is compelled to do this even though he's never even met this guy. Think about that. And he is compelled to do this, to take the time to help him, even though everyone was in party mode. And even though he himself was on his way to a festival, a party, if you will. So with all that, let's pick up, again, John chapter 5. We're going to pick up starting in verse 5, and as I read, I want you to notice, okay, pay attention to the circumstances of this man. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into this pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat, and he walked. So what did you notice about this particular man's circumstances? Did you notice that they're pretty dire? 38 years, guys. 38 years of physical suffering. 38 years of waiting for somehow to be healed, somehow to be made whole. A set of circumstances that would most likely make life pretty hopeless, right? Utterly hopeless. Now, as we reflect on this story, I can't help for a second to just let you know, as I reflect on this, I can't help but wonder why. Why? Why did Jesus notice? Why did Jesus help this man? I mean, what was special about this man? What was special about his circumstances that led Jesus to him specifically? I mean, there were many others there. Verse 3, we didn't read it, but verse 3 says this. There were a great number of people there. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed. So why this man? Why this man and why only this one man? Why not heal everyone, Jesus, right? I mean, there are other instances where Jesus does miracles for thousands of people, right? At a time, like the feeding of the 5,000. But in this instance, he didn't heal everyone. Even though knowing our Jesus, he certainly had the power to do that. And I'll tell you right now, I can't fully answer why only this one. But perhaps, okay, perhaps in it, Jesus is teaching us something today. Maybe you can't respond. Maybe you aren't supposed to respond to all the circumstances, to all the open doors before you. But you can, and you are likely meant to respond to some, or at least one. And with everything flying at many of us, church, that means that we better seek some wisdom. We better seek some guidance from our God as to what we are to respond to, what we are to get involved in, and what we are not. Because if we try getting involved in everything, we become useful for really nothing. And we become useful for really no one, essentially. All right, enough of that rabbit trail. It's a bit of a rabbit trail, but an important one, I think. Because we need to hear God's voice. We need to have his discernment as we approach open doors. And as we deal with the circumstances that come before us. But going back to our story, did you also notice the question that Jesus asked the man? Did you notice that? Did you notice the question? Did you notice the man's response? Jesus asked, "Do you want to get well?" And the guy's answer, well, he immediately describes the difficult circumstances, and they go beyond the physical, don't they? They go beyond the physical. They go to something called relational. He says, "I have no one to help me." And at that, I got to tell you, Jesus must have found the man's circumstances as being even more tragic than they even first appeared. I mean, not only does this man have major physical problems, but relationally, he's alone. He has no one, which was all good information for Jesus, but the man, okay, when you think about it, the man wasn't really answering Jesus' rather simple yes, no question, was he? He instead does what? He gives the laundry list of how he is trying. The laundry list of how there are too many obstacles. But despite his rabbit trail answer to Jesus' question, Jesus just directs the man, doesn't he? He directs him to rise and to pick up his mat and to walk. And at his words, church, the words of Jesus, the man's body was healed. And he obeys Jesus' words, and he stands, and he walks. Now, soon after this, the religious leaders, they rebuke the man for carrying his mat. It's against the Sabbath law. Completely, mind you, okay? Completely overlooking the fact that he was a miraculous healing. A miraculous healing just happened. And when they find out that it was Jesus who healed him, they persecute Jesus, okay? And meaning they follow him intensely with the purpose of what? Of intimidating him, like a school bully would his or her target. And they were asking him, you know, why did you break the law? Why did you work? Why did you help? Why did you heal on the Sabbath? And so Jesus, he stands up to them, as we read in verse 17 to 20. In his defense, Jesus said to them, "My Father is at work to this very day, and I too am working." For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him, not only because he was breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal to God. Jesus gave them this answer, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he does." Now, it is here, church. It's here that we start to see an answer. An answer as to why Jesus only helped this one man. And we also start to see how we can gain clarity in our circumstances and in the face of the open doors that are before us. I mean, Jesus, when you think about that, he says what? He says, "Look, guys, I only do what I see my Father doing." And he says, "Everything that I do is from God." You see, guys, says Jesus, "He, God, he loves me. He, God, he shows me what he is up to." And then says Jesus, "I join in. I join in with him." Now, church, okay? Church, the theological point here is incredibly important. And the theological point is that everything Jesus says and everything that Jesus does is from God, because he is the Son of God. He is not just a nice guy. He is not just some engaging teacher. He's not some role model for decent behavior. Jesus, church, is the Son of God. And in that, do you know what? In that, he is so close to the Father. He is so close to the Father that he knows exactly when to stop. He knows exactly when to help in all of the circumstances before him. And he knows whom to help. He is so close to the Father, church, that he knows exactly when to walk through an open door. Are you? Am I? Are we? Is there room for you and I to grow in that, to get closer to our Heavenly Father? I believe Jesus knew enough based on what he heard from his Father to just help that one person in that crowd. That was the assignment for that part of Jesus' day. Nothing more, but nothing less. And we see this throughout all of his ministry. I mean, yes, again, there are times, right, where he miraculously helps the whole crowd. Again, like that feeding of the 5,000 I mentioned. It happens just in the next chapter of John. But something that is confusing about Jesus, and I'm just being real, something that's confusing is that during his life as a human, he healed many, but not everyone. And he brought back from the dead some, but he left others as they were. And he took compassion on some, but he rebuked others, didn't he? And he taught many, but he only deeply mentored a few. How did he know? How did he know when to do what and how to do it? Well, he heard it. He heard it from his Father. He heard it from his Father and he obeyed, which is the realm that we as a church, you as a Christian, I as a Christian, that is a realm that we need to journey deeper into. Now, to that, you might say, you know what? That's great. That's even amazing. But it's Jesus, right? It's Jesus. It's the Son of God. Of course he did that. But what about me? Well, did you know that God is just as willing to reveal to you where he is at work as he was to his Son Jesus? He's just as willing, church. Church, God is at work all around you. God is at work all around me. And I am telling you, okay? I'm telling you, the Spirit of God, well, he will impress upon your heart and mind when he wants you to join him. And the Spirit, he will confirm his activity through Scripture and through prayer. And as we talk about next week, through his very church. But But if we are honest with ourselves, at least for me, sometimes we're like the sick man by the pool. Sometimes we're like him, so consumed with our difficult circumstances that though God is trying to reveal something to us through them, through these circumstances, or outside of our circumstances, we aren't available for him. We aren't available to respond because we're too focused on ourselves or on why things can't happen. We're too focused on what can't happen. Or we respond with how busy we are and how it's hard to find time to even read his word and to pray. Or we respond with how we don't have anybody to keep us accountable. You have the Holy Spirit of God, church, to keep you accountable. You have his strength to make it possible. Or we say, you know, I don't have anybody to go to church with me. So in that, guys, all I'm saying is we remain stuck. In that, we remain stuck on the shores. Well, all the while, you know what? Jesus is saying, do you want to be made well? Do you want to experience something new? Do you want to experience more of me, says Jesus. And to all of that, I say, Jesus, forgive us. Forgive me. Forgive us for our excuses. Jesus, forgive us for our lack of availability to you. Jesus, forgive us for our lack of taking time to seek discernment from you. Jesus, would you forgive us? And Jesus, would you forgive us for not asking you to show us where you would have us to go and what you would have us to do? Day by day, moment by moment, I say, Jesus, please forgive us for that. Or perhaps we're like the religious leaders in this story, where we just see all that is wrong with others. You ever been there? Where all you see is what's wrong with everybody else, and you can't help but point out people's mistakes and their faults. Maybe you find yourself thinking, can't people just get their act together already? Yet I'm telling you what, in doing so, we completely miss the miracles. We completely miss the miracles that take place in people's lives. And more importantly, in that mindset, we miss the opportunities that we get invited to play in being a part of God's miracles in those people's lives. Because we don't talk to the proverbial invalid man. We don't talk to the proverbial invalid woman. Or the stranger that we don't know yet, or we're too consumed with where we're heading. Though God, you know what? He may be trying to prompt us. He may be trying to prompt us to get to know him or her and to help them. I mean, how often aren't we just so put off? You know, put off maybe by a child's behavior or by a coworker's coarse language. Maybe so put off that we miss what God is doing in their hearts. All of this, church, it distracts us. It distracts you and I from the fact that God, you know what? He may be brought him or her into our lives for a reason. Can we believe? Can we believe that God is working? Can we believe that God is always active like we sing about in the lives of our family? In the lives of our neighbors, in the lives of our celebrities around us, even if they're not behaving the way that we think they should. I'll tell you what, church, we can and we should believe that. We can and we should. Now, I don't want anybody to hear me wrong. Sin is still sin, okay? And sin is not to be taken lightly. It's nothing to trifle with, okay? I mean, Jesus, he even says a little later on, to this man that he healed, he says, walk away from your sin. He says, walk away from your sin so nothing worse happens to you. And I ask you, what could be worse than waiting 38 years to be healed? Well, how about spending eternity without God? Well, when we solely focus on people's external behavior, when we solely focus on their circumstances and we don't stop to listen to their story and how far maybe they've come, we miss out. We miss out on so much of God's action. Because walking a few steps, do you know what? Walking a few steps may not seem like a big deal to you or I, but to that man, it was miraculous. And to many of us, a few steps toward God, a few steps with God, that is to be applauded, church. That is to be supported. Church, Jesus, time and time again, he allowed himself to be interrupted in order to help those that the Father directed him to. But again, for us, oftentimes when we see people struggling, we become so overwhelmed with their needs, or so consumed with our own situations that we just keep walking right on by. And maybe it's because in our own estimation, apart from God, we feel that we have somewhere more important to be and something more important to do. But I'm telling you what, church, and I'm speaking to myself, if we want to walk this faith thing out, if we want to experience God, if we want to hear from God during our circumstances and through the events all around us, then for one, we have to intentionally put ourselves in the place of feeling the pull of the Holy Spirit of God and in a place to receive the perspective of the Holy Spirit, the perspective and the purposes of God in it, in all that we face. Because he, like he did for Jesus, will help us. Will help us to see the individual or maybe the place where he is working and where he is wanting you and I to join in and participate with what he's doing. In other words, may we be so attuned with the Holy Spirit of God that we see circumstances, that we see open doors for what they really are. So the key is really this. The key is knowing God so intimately and growing in your intimate relationship with God, praying the word, listening to grow, that you are able to recognize when he's working all around you. And where he is primarily at work, newsflash, is with people. He's primarily working with people, with us and with them, whoever them are. It's about people. It's about people. You see, Jesus, he did not come to the earth to do what makes sense to us. Rather, he watched and he sought and he was so sensitive to, and he asked his Father to show him where he was at work throughout the day, and then he adjusted his life to join in with that. That's what Jesus did. I believe that was a lot of what he did in the time where we read that he got early and he got to a quiet place to be with his Father to pray. I believe it was to get the marching orders for the day. I believe that's what he was doing. Give me the direction today, Father. And I believe in those moments he asked his Father for wisdom. I believe in those moments he asked his Father for discernment. I believe in those moments he asked his Father for strength to step into the open doors that God was directing him towards and to step away from the ones that God was not directing him towards during his days, and to handle the circumstances of his days in the way that his Father desired him to, as those things cropped up. So are you, am I, are we intentional about asking God for that stuff? And listening in those moments and throughout our day, are we attuned, in other words, to the signs that God gives us, showing you and I where he is at in his mission and into what he invites us to? I mean, when a coworker or something, starts to talk about spiritual things, do you recognize that God's Spirit is likely active in your workplace? And do you thus join into that? Or when you find yourself maybe running into maybe the same parent at some of your kids' things time and time again, do you recognize, maybe God is wanting me to join his activity in this person's life. Maybe I should spend some time asking God about that. Maybe I should spend some time listening to God about that. Or how about when you have a difficult decision to make? Do you recognize that God is desiring for you to talk to him? That he is desiring for you to trust him? To trust his leading? Are you asking? Are you listening? Because if we aren't, and if we try to understand these circumstances apart from our relationship with God, we will be confused, we will be disoriented, and oftentimes, I'm telling you what, I've been there, we will make the wrong decision. But when we seek to understand situations from his vantage point, we can learn to appreciate his activity all around us, even, I'm telling you, in the most distressing circumstances. Now, in this week's readings in the workbook, it's going to have some guidelines for you to help in this discerning process. But I want to close with this idea. The real struggle comes when God speaks the truth, but the enemy speaks the opposite. Or when we maybe don't like, or when we don't understand what God speaks. In other words, it's not the way that we would handle it. And in all of that, church, we have to decide, okay? We have to decide at the end of the day who to believe and who to trust ultimately and who to obey, which is why, again, it is important to understand the circumstances alone. It's important to not look at an open door before us and just go by that. That cannot solely indicate God's will for our life and or the decisions we make. In the midst of a circumstance, if we based our decisions solely on signs or happenings, we would no longer need a relationship with God through prayer, through reading the word, through the body of the church. But I'm telling you, that's not how God works. All this stuff works together, and it's meant to. And God doesn't just want us to behave. He wants us to believe. To believe and to take him at his word. To trust him. And so sometimes, okay, sometimes he gives us certain circumstances to regain our attention, to get us focused back on him, or to help us express our fears, express our doubts, as well as our faith, and as well as our love. He wants all of us. He wants the all of us, the entirety of our being. And so just in case, I want to share this, just in case you're in a really difficult circumstance where it feels like God doesn't want you or that he doesn't care for you or that he's not hearing you. If you're in that spot, I want to close by this. Just consider his own son. Would you consider his own son, Jesus? Would you consider his own son, Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane? And although he loved his son greatly, right? There's no doubt about that. God loved his son greatly, but when Jesus asked, is there any other way that my current circumstances can be changed so I don't have to go to that cross and that can be taken away from me? So I don't have to die on the cross. The answer from God was what, church? It was no. It was no. And Jesus accepted it, saying what? Not my will, but your will, God. And you know what? That didn't mean that God didn't love Jesus. That doesn't mean that. And so your difficult circumstances, they do not mean that God doesn't love you or care for you. It just means that there's a bigger work at hand. A bigger work at hand that God wants to show you in his timing. And it's about eternity. So in closing, I don't know what your circumstances are. I don't know what you're walking in here this morning with. But I do know that God is with you and that God is for you. He's with you and for you through said circumstances. And he desires to communicate with you about what he is doing and what he is doing and how he is wanting to do it in and through you. As the worship team comes forward, it'd be my honor and blessing to pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, humbled that you desire to relate with us. And Lord, we in this life, we face so many open doors, so many situations, so many circumstances, and we just have this tendency to try to fix it ourselves. or try to just jump into everything. Well, Lord, all the while you're saying, I'm here, talk to me, get your direction from me, because just as you did that for Jesus, you are desiring to speak to us about those things and our circumstances as well. So, Lord, would we be a disciplined people that communicate with you regularly about circumstances, open doors, knowing that just as you were guiding Jesus, you will guide us as we navigate this thing called life. Lord, would we just speak with you more, listen more in those situations? We pray this all in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.